What should you do when you cross a gorilla and a computer?
Sigh. What?
You better run away because he's a crossed gorilla. You know, cross isn't angry.
Brian?
Yes?
This is a Salesforce joke. How?
Salesforce is used on computers.
No. No, Brian. Just no. It's barely a joke at all in the first place. No. Nope, 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 nope.
Well, let's see you write Salesforce-specific jokes episode after episode. I mean, that's why we asked for listener submissions since episode one. I'm tapped out, man. I'm tapped out. It's game over. Game over, man.
It's only episode 17.
I know.
Okay, folks. It took 17 episodes, but I finally broke Brian. Oh, this is great. I've got so many people that owe me money now. Ryan, are you eating while we're recording a podcast?
It's just a snack, you know. I love these little nerd candies, but I always kind of feel a bit like a cannibal.
Okay, but that crunching is still going to come out over the mic, so I'm going to have to edit. Wait, why do you still have Halloween candy?
Don't you?
No, it's been weeks since Halloween.
Look, I can't help it that you don't go to the good houses that give out more candy.
You've got twin toddlers. They should be ripping through that candy. Hang on. Are you actually letting them have any? Brian?
Yes? No? Maybe? Well, I told them Halloween was fun for kids because they got the dress up, and it's fun for parents because the candy was for us.
You are a villain. You are literally taking candy from babies. Well, almost babies.
And speaking of villains, here's a new radio show we wrote, featuring an epic clash of good and evil.
Nice segue.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, first, you're not as funny as Monty Python.
True.
And second, don't we do enough new stuff all the time?
Never.
Okay. All right, clearly there's a difference of opinion there. Fine, what are we going to do?
Welcome to Cloudopolis, a city normally full of hope and inspiration, suddenly cast to despair and frustration. One person dares to stand above the corruption, to set things right, to lift all good citizens back to the utopia they deserve. That person is the admin hero.
Oh, dude, sweet. I've always wanted to do an all-time radio show. Ooh, 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 can I be the announcer?
In today's adventure, the Cloud Bank of Cloudopolis is in dire straits, where there should be a single stack of money, two or more, stacked in the vault, which later turn out to be a fake. Single pieces of furniture have become a set. Customers are in a panic. How can they trust a bank when they can't trust what is real?
Oh, okay, okay. I see where this is going. Dibs on the villain.
Only one person can return sanity to the Cloud Bank of Cloudopolis. That person is the admin hero.
Hey, wait, hang on. Who's going to be the hero?
The admin hero, known by all as the bringer of justice and stability to all Cloud citizens. Nobody knows, though, that the admin hero is also mild-mannered Brent Downey, an everyday Salesforce admin.
Oh, come on. You can't actually get actual Brent Downey to come on here to voice the admin hero. He's really busy right now. What are you going to do? Just call him up and pretend to be the mayor of Cloudopolis, telling him that things at the bank are getting duplicated.
That sounds like the evil work of the insidious duper, Mayor Ross.
Holy guest star heart attack.
He never bothers to search for the correct items and just creates his own versions. Many of his duplicates are incorrect or even completely outdated. The bank is in real trouble.
You have got to be kidding me.
I am absolutely serious, Mr. Mayor. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must be off to stop the insidious duper.
Moments later at the Cloud Bank Cloudopolis.
Don't worry, Mr. Bank Manager. We will stop the insidious duper from messing up your bank.
Oh, thank you, Admin Hero. Wait, I'm the bank manager now?
First, let me put some prevention in place. I will take out some duplicate rules from my handy Admin Hero tool belt.
The Admin Hero swiftly uses his trusty duplicate rules and installs them on every important object in the bank.
There you go, Mr. Manager. From now on, whenever the duper attempts to create a new duplicate, he'll be stopped.
Admin Hero, I knew it wouldn't be long before you showed up.
That's right, insidious duper. I'm here to put an end to your reign of terror.
That's what you think, Admin Zero. You may have stopped my duplicates here going forward, but you have no idea the damage I've already done. I've been secretly at work for months. There are hundreds of duplicates you don't even know about yet. Nobody knows where they are. They're just lying in wait, waiting to wreak havoc. You'll spend weeks rooting them out.
I'm one step ahead of you, duper. I've already called a call out to all of my friends at the League of Extraordinary Apps. I've got more than enough friends in the App Exchange to take care of you. Demand Tools, Cloud Dingo, Grid Buddy, and even the free-to-everyone Data.com Duplicate Management Tool can all handle your duplicates in different ways, and those are just the beginning. They'll root out each of those dupes before you can say, turn off Quick Create!
No! Curse you, Batman Hero!
And now give you what you deserve, duper. And just because it's you, I'll give you two. Kapow! Zoe!
Boo! Boo! Thank you so much, Admin Hero. We'd be lost without you.
Well, Mr. Bank Manager, I may not be the hero the city always wants, but I try to be the hero it needs.
What about the hero it deserves?
No comment.
All right, well, that certainly did seem like something very different.
Did you like it?
Actually, kinda, yeah.
Yeah, then, yeah, it was different, although it is a shame.
Why?
That the Insidious Duper was a villain and not a superhero.
Well, that doesn't really make sense. Why?
Because then he would have been a super duper, and boy, they make some great burgers. Well, I'm hungry.
Do the disclaimer, please.
For transparency purposes, it should be known that Mark Ross is not, in fact, a bank manager. He's actually working at AppBuddy, the makers of GridBuddy, and Brian Kwong, although he's not an employed person by Sierra Infusion, the maker of Demantus, does in fact resell it.
There. We're transparent now. You happy?
Mark, this may surprise you, but we have a guest on today's podcast.
I'm actually very surprised, yes.
Yes, and today's guest is Brent Downey.
That I'm not actually surprised by that because he's in our Skype chat right now. Like, he's here.
Yeah, and we just recorded a whole Admin Hero segment, which everyone just listened to.
Sure, there was that. I mean, it's not okay.
I did say this was going to be a stupid introduction to this segment for interviewing Brent.
You were right.
But that's what we do here, is stupid.
Stupid? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Brent, welcome to LizardCast.
Thanks, guys.
So, I know you're currently working at ReadyTalk as an administrator.
Mm-hmm. I am.
And you told me earlier in the quick prep call that we didn't actually have that you've been an administrator for 5 years.
Yep.
Right? And this is the end of your administrator days, these last 3 days.
Yeah, well, we'll see how things go, but it's time to make a change. We're moving into the consulting world next week.
So is it surreal, like this whole concept of like having been an admin and now no longer?
I don't know. I don't know if it's hit me quite yet. You know, I'm sure once I get onto a couple projects and that's more of my day to day than answering interesting questions from users, you know, it'll probably set in a little bit more, but it hasn't quite yet.
I think what you'll find, considering I've been a consultant for the last year, I made the jump a year ago. Mm-hmm. Is that the questions that you get aren't going to be any less interesting than the questions you get from your end users as an administrator. There's a lot more variety to them. And yet, they're all
that's
the same.
True. Yeah. Right. It definitely will be a new challenge and something I've been wanting to do for quite a while. So, you know, I think it was one of those decisions where I thought, if I don't do it now, I don't know if I will do it. So I better make a leap. And I think it's going to be a good decision.
So it occurs to me that we are all now former admins. Because I was an admin for almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. And just recently moved over to AppBuddy. And Brian was an admin a year ago, and now you're leaving. It's an interesting little club we have here.
It's intriguing because I kind of think of like the progression of an admin and what are some of those channels and tracks that you can move into. And did a session at Dreamforce this last year on, you know, developing your career, kind of crafting your journey, understanding where you want to go. And I kind of felt a little bad. I wanted to make sure that I phrased it correctly because you can totally have an awesome career being an admin. You know, like look at Steve Mo does a fantastic job for his company. He's been there for, 13 years or something like that. It's something crazy. And, you know, for me, it's just one of those things where I'm looking for a new, interesting challenge. And that seemed to be the next kind of natural progression to take a look at. But there's some really awesome admins who do this day in and day out, and they do a great job, and that's, you know, that's kind of their wheelhouse, and that's fantastic for them.
It's an interesting problem that admins have, especially as they're starting out, and they're likely to work for smaller companies. Either they're non-admins who get shuffled into an admin role, or they're part-time or full-time, along with other job things that they have to do. Or, you know, that's just how they start because they have little experience. Often, there's not much upward mobility for an admin within his own company in those situations. The most you'll get is being promoted. If your company really grows really well, the most you'll get is being promoted to the leader of a team of other admins where you're probably not going to be doing much admin work yourself. And that's not necessarily – maybe that's what some people want to do. But it's certainly not a Salesforce thing necessarily very much. So often what we have to resort to do is growing out in other ways, either moving to another company, which is a larger company, which is probably better pay and more responsibility. And that's a step up and possibly ranks with that company because it's a larger company, or moving off to a consulting job where you're essentially a Salesforce professional. That is what you do. You are a professional Salesforce fellow, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I grow up by just eating more candy.
That's growing out. That's growing out.
Oh,
different type of growing.
Yeah,
my mistake.
No, it's true. You know, I mean, a managerial role, someone who's over a team of admins and or developers is definitely an option, but I feel like those particular positions are hard to come by right now. You know, a lot of organizations are still trying to figure out, I think they understand the benefit and value of having an on-staff admin, but a lot of those admins are solo admins yet. There's a very small percentage of companies who actually have a developed team that are managing their Salesforce implementation. So, you know, when you kind of evaluate that in your marketplace and you understand what it is you kind of want to do, consulting is another great option. So it'll be interesting. What I struggled with most, though, is trying to determine if moving into consulting has some sort of negative impact on, you know, my brand, on, you know, Admin Hero itself, and came to the conclusion that regardless, and probably you guys both feel this, I mean, still an admin at heart, but you know, my day to day is just going to change a little bit. So the content on Admin Hero will hopefully grow. It'll diversify a little bit based on the projects and things that I'm able to work on. I can get a little bit deeper into some of the context. You know, as an admin developing this content for Admin Hero, I'm only limited to the amount of information that I am willing and able to learn and the application components that I actually use in my organization. And so, as an author, I want to be able to communicate effectively and accurately the content of the site. And so that limits, as a result, some of the content I can develop for Admin Hero. And I think that this is going to be a good move for the site, for the readers. And so I kind of got over that kind of brand identity a little bit, you know, writing Admin Hero but not being an admin. And I think that the benefit's still going to be there for the readers.
You know, I think a good way to look at it is, as a consultant, you're not an admin for an individual company. You're now an admin for many companies.
Mm.
You just may not necessarily be the admin for that company all the time.
Sure.
And so you're still going to be doing administrator work. It's just you'll have a lot more different customers that you're doing the administrator work for.
That's true.
And you'll be brought in for the hard stuff.
Which I'm actually looking forward to. You know, the challenging kind of complex issues that companies are trying to solve with Salesforce. I'm really looking forward to digging into those on a more regular basis and using some creative horsepower to figure out all the intricacies of Salesforce and how to make them work for an organization.
So, in your tenure as an admin, what do you think was your biggest challenge?
Man, you know, the biggest challenge, and this is actually something that almost every admin has talked to me about, whether it's asking a question, sending an email, you know, some sort of feedback, is what I call kind of the culture shift of the organization. So how do you get everyone on board? How do you get your executives on board? How do you get your users really using it and adopting Salesforce and making the application a way of life for the organization? And, you know, 5 years, three companies, I've worked for three companies as an admin over 5 years. Every single one of them have had some varying degree of that kind of cultural component that's missing or that is difficult to get folks on board with. I would say, actually, out of all the three, ReadyTalk's probably the best company I've been at in terms of it being adopted. But you still have little pockets here and there, you know, that regardless of how well it's being adopted or how well it's integrated into the business process, you still have these kind of components of people or departments that just it's not working for them for whatever reason. And I think that's just an ongoing battle, ongoing struggle for all admins.
That's very true. Well, just out of curiosity, since we're on the topic and this a bit of a discussion roundtable, Brian, what was your most difficult thing to deal with when you were an admin?
You know, I think I have the same issue that Brent brought up, was convincing or changing the culture. So it was pretty common in the places I went to, I would have, say, a champion, and maybe, if I was really lucky, the executive-level staff. But typically that champion had limited, oh my gosh, the word, the thing, that means leverage, yes, had limited, and I'm probably the healthiest one on the call, Mark's got a head cold, that they had a limited leverage to be able to get people to turn around and say, this is what it is, and it is very much kind of like running for a public office, where you're basically, you're stumping, and you're using the same speech over and over and over again. Why is this important? How will this benefit you? Why is this really important for you to do it? Why is it important for the company to do it? And doing it over and over and over and over again, until you hopefully you either expand your leverage, or you kind of come to that realization that, for whatever reason, the company culture is not going to change. And so you either have to live with that fact, or you do what I ended up doing, which is saying, okay, it's time for me to move on to someplace that's going to be more malleable to that company culture that needs this shift in order to make things really successful.
It's funny that you word it that way, where you're stumping, running for office, because what you guys are talking about was my major problem too. Is my major problem that I had. And it was almost always politics. It was interoffice politics that had a lot to do with it. And that's not just my most recent company. It's not a reflection on them. It was any company that I've admin for. Politics was a major thing. It was hard to deal with when trying to change that culture or, you know, win hearts and minds and make things happen that were for the better of the company. It's you're fighting upstream against people who don't necessarily agree with you, or they have their own, you know, timelines and agendas and things, and they, you know, they're trying to do what's best for their departments. You know, they're not out there to cause trouble.
Right.
They're trying to do what they see is best for the company, but invariably they're coming from their perspective. And it can be difficult for admins, because we often work with every department in any given company, or at least most of them, and so it's easy for us to be like, we're coming from every perspective, not just yours. Can't you work with us? And it's hard to get traction on that. And that's ultimately the major reason why I moved out of this line of work and out of the admin world and into something else.
I mean, you know, the analogy I like to use is that the company culture as a whole is like a gigantic cruise ship, not too dissimilar to the one that was at Dreamforce, the Dreamboat. And you have to have a few things to make it successful, right? You need to have a pilot, a captain that's on board to steer the ship in the direction that you want it to be steered. You need the people in engineering who are willing to let the engines do what they need to do. And you need a way to spread the communication all across the entire boat, because if you have people who are not helping you run the boat, you're going to end up hitting an iceberg or something worse. Or maybe the boat never leaves the harbor. And it's really challenging for people, because I think a lot of administrators really don't come from the experience of being corporate culture changers. We come from salespeople and implementation and customer services and marketing, which is completely different way of thinking, versus where if you're company culture changers, you're looking at who are the important people that you need to work with, who are the potential people that are roadblockers, who are the potential people that are probably the most verbal naysayers but could be the most verbal positive people if you spend the time to talk to them and work with them. And the other item that comes to that is understanding exactly what you said, Mark, is that not everyone is going to be doing something bad for the company. They're doing it from their own perspective. And so you have to understand what their perspective is so you can have a talk with them on, hey, I understand what your perspective is. I agree with you. We're hitting the same goals. Here's how I see how we can meet your goals. I see how you're trying to meet your goals. Let's try to come up with something in the middle.
Yeah, it's interesting. The whole kind of talk about cultural change within the organization is something that I've been trying to refine, you know, presentations and things on. And just this last year, I did a presentation. It was actually at Midwest Dreamin' on leveraging psychology to kind of help in that effort. And there's a lot of little tactics that people can do, but when you really boil it all down, you're just dealing with people. And so you don't have to be, you know, some sort of psychoanalyst. You don't have to have some sort of advanced degree. When you understand that you're just working with people and you can understand some basic kind of tenets of psychology and the way that people as a human, you know, human nature tends to learn and interact with one another, you can spin that to your advantage, both in developing functionality in Salesforce to get people to want to use it, but also in your communication, the way that you approach people, you know, the conversations and the way that you engage with them and empathize with them really pulls on that psychology element, and it helps to win them over. And I think a lot of people forget that we're all just people. You know, we're human beings. You can use some simple tactics like that to kind of help at least alleviate the pressure, if nothing else.
So let's talk a little bit. I hate to use the word legacy, because we did a really crappy job on your introduction because we didn't mention your blog at all.
So oh my God, we didn't. Wow.
So maybe Mark.
Evanhero.com.
Maybe Mark will take the stuff that I said about you having 2,000 subscriptions and pull it forward and make me sound more intelligent. He won't. So you run a blog called Evanhero at Evanhero.com that has over 2,000 subscribers now. Mm-hmm. It's been running for ever, it seems like.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
way to diminish his accomplishment.
Well, I kind of remember seeing Evanhero before I became an MVP, and when I was still trying to get learning about Salesforce.
Yeah, 2012 was when I started it, but I really didn't start publishing on a regular schedule until December of 2014. So it was kind of intermittent. Then I was doing. Actually, no, December 2014, I was doing, started weekly posts. So it was the year prior to that. I was doing every other week. So, it was a lengthy ramp up, but, it's been around since 2012. I have about 115, or 120 blog posts now, 2,300 subscribers. in the last year, it's just skyrocketed. It's been really crazy to see it take off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a person who's been doing blogging for a little, almost 2 years now, thewizardnews.com, which I don't know why I'm saying that, because chances are our listeners have already gone there.
Probably,
right? Blogging's not an easy thing to do.
No.
I've been amazed at your output. I mean, I'm a subscriber. I may not necessarily get a chance to read every post, but I get them in my inbox, and I can't keep up. It's like it seems like you're doing two posts a week. I'm lucky I can write an outline for a post once a week. So you know, my hat is, I would say, metaphorically off, because I'm not wearing my hat right now. But you know, I tip my hat off to you, man. You have been one amazing contributor to the community. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, thank you.
How do you keep up that level of work?
Well, so, you know, everyone knows Mike Gerholt and Button Click Admin. And when I started writing, that was, you know, the blog that I went to. And I think probably the blog that most admins, at least, heard about first at that point in time. So, you know, I really wanted to blog, and so I thought, well, he's doing something, and it seems like he's pretty popular, and so let me kind of understand what he's doing a little bit. Followed along with, you know, kind of understanding his cadence and trying to look at the way that he laid out his site and the way he communicates and things like that. And then after becoming an MVP, I had a chance to talk with him on multiple occasions around, you know, what is it, how do you do that? How do you do a weekly post? You know, I didn't have any sort of posting schedule, and one post every 3 months seemed like a ton of work. And so, you know, he told me, he goes, well, you know, when you have people who subscribe to a newspaper and they get the daily newspaper, they expect it every single morning. And, you know, folks who are reading my site expect to have a new post there every single week. And so you work with that expectation. They're expecting the content to be there, and I don't want to be the one not to deliver them that content. So that stuck with me for, you know, quite a while, and I slowly kind of did the ramp up. You know, I thought, okay, well, at least let me get on a schedule. So even if it's not every week, at least it's consistent. So that's where we started, every other week, and that gave me some time to, you know, develop the content, do the outline, write it, publish it. And then I started to get to the point where I had so many ideas and posts kind of just in waiting that I thought, let me just try doing every single week. We'll try to get the content out. And so that's what I did December of 2014. And that's what I've been doing since then. So every single week. And it is not easy. It really is not easy. There are days that I just want to go home and watch TV, you know, after a long day of work or whatever. But I find time to do it. Sometimes, you know, I might have to crunch out a post every now and again. But the subscribers expect it now to be there every single week, and I've got to deliver them something every Monday. So thanks to Mike Gerholt, he inspired me and kind of drove me to be persistent.
So basically you're saying, get some discipline and man up, you pansies.
Hey, that's chauvinistic.
Not my words. No, I mean, yeah.
Mark Ross's opinions do not measure WizardCast or the Wizard Media Group LLC in any way.
You know, blogging's definitely taking off quite a bit. I mean, there's a lot of folks starting new blogs. I mean, I think just 2 weeks ago, I got an email about a community member who has been following Admin Hero, and they're starting a new blog. I mean, people really want to be engaging in this kind of ecosystem. And, you know, I'm proud and humbled to have a site that people are looking to, you know, much like I did Button Click Admin, to kind of help them not only be inspired to write, but also, you know, how to do it. And so it's definitely really interesting to see, you know, folks coming in. But there shouldn't be that expectation that you need to publish on a regular basis. You know, I mean, some people just want to do it just to do it and have fun and document for themselves. And that's fine. If it grows into something more, I mean, that's kind of what Admin Hero became. But, you know, if you want to start a blog, just start a blog. Don't put the pressure on yourself to, you know, do something more substantial or have some sort of crazy schedule. But enjoy the process.
Or if you have a great idea and you don't want to start your own blog and do that hassle, there's always people like Brent and I that are happy for guest posts.
Love guest posts. Yeah, I mean, that's been an interesting process too, you know, is the creative control over the site and the way that you articulate, you know, specific viewpoints and interests, or, you know, even some of the technical writing that I've taken and kind of distilled down to even be less technical so that really new people can jump in and get, you know, get on board. So having a guest post can be hard for me.
You're going to have a hard December.
Some control, right? And so it's, I definitely want them. I think that they're great to have and kind of add some other opinions and insights. But, as a blogger who has been very specific in the way that the site is structured and the content is delivered, that's a very interesting, component of blogging is the guest blog.
I get it. I mean, when I started the Wizard News, one of my kind of visions for this was it wasn't just going to be me. I would start off as the editor in chief, but I really wanted to turn the blog site into like a newspaper with a variety of columns written by other people. And for whatever reason, that just never took off.
Yeah, now we do this.
And now we do this instead. You know, yeah. I think Mark was going to originally hop onto the not necessarily my blog site, but he was going to share my website and all the hosting things. And you know, for whatever reason, we decided to do a podcast instead of joining forces that way.
Well, you know, it's funny, on the flip side, I've been asked, you know, why don't you do a podcast, or you should create some video content, and I've thought about it, you know, but the fact of the matter is that I started a blog, and that's, for me, that's what I want to do. And the amount of time that it takes for me to, you know, develop that content, I can't create great blog content and great video or audio content at the same time.
Amen, I just brother.
My limitations are.
I hear you.
And so, and I don't want to diverge from the blog, but you know there are. I mean, you guys do a great job. ButtonClick does a great job being able to run, you know, both types of content. I can't do it. Yeah. So
for a while there, I was doing a video, a blog post, and the podcast at least twice every single month of something. And something just broke because I can say I love doing the videos. I think they're a lot of fun, but there are tons of work, especially when you're the one who's writing the script, recording the script, and then doing all the editing afterwards, all by yourself. It's a lot of time and a lot of work. And unfortunately, I spent a lot of money software and the various hardware required. This podcast probably would not exist if it wasn't for Mark, who is a wizard at the editing.
Hey.
Fine. He's a Yoda at the editing.
Okay.
and because the amount of time it would take me to edit this particular interview would probably be, you know, half a day, where Mark's probably going to whiz bang through it in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it can be a lot of work. And I think that's something that people don't necessarily realize when they first get into blogging, videos, or podcasting. But that's okay. I think you kind of have to start off with what's your expectation. And if your expectation is going to be, I'm just going to put out information when I have really good information, then you spend the time to make sure that whatever you put out is by far excellent. And it doesn't matter how often you post, people are going to come and read you.
I think that's the thing. It's all about the content and quality of the content. So, if you aren't publishing on a regular basis, at least be publishing something that's great, right? I listen to, I don't know if you've heard of the Un-podcast, but it's a marketing podcast, and Scott Stratton and his partner they run that, and he talks about blogging, where, you know, he'll publish one blog post every 6 months, but he's like, I get a ton of traffic to it because people know that if I'm publishing something that's really important, I've taken the time to really write it out. And, you know, his subscribers understand him. But, you know, there's no frequency to it. It's really hit or miss, but it's always really good content. So he makes that comment as well.
Closing thoughts, arguments? Oh, I have a question that I want to ask. So I have no idea if you have actually listened to the podcast. It's probably a question I should ask up front.
We just assume no.
Yeah, because we really know, like, Alicia and my mother are probably the only listeners. Hi, Alicia.
Yeah.
That one of the things that we are hoping is one day when we get this down to near perfection, which will probably be never, we will manage to get Parker Harris on our podcast. Because it's kind of our personal goal. So, on the assumption we get Parker Harris on our podcast, what one question would you like the WizardCast morons to present Parker Harris?
So you guys are doing Parker Harris because Button Click's trying to buy for Benioff, right?
Yeah, in no way is this a ripoff. At all. The idea of asking guests for questions, that is a minor ripoff. I'm like, oh, that was a really good idea, Mike. But just like everything else, we all borrow from Mike, and Mike knows it, and he loves it. Thanks, Mike.
He does.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, what one question would I ask Parker?
Parker.
Yeah, see, the problem is that Mike also gives you that question in advance so you can think about it.
He didn't give me the question in advance, so, you know. Besides, I'm a big believer of your first instinctual answer is usually the one that is the most honest.
Well, I saw Mark Benioff had tweeted something this morning. It was a newspaper article from SFGate, and they were talking about Oracle Open World and how the number of attendees declined, apparently, this year. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. So I guess maybe a question related to that would be, how is Salesforce ensuring that they aren't moving into kind of an Oracle state in terms of size or integration of products or, the kind of ugly behemoth that Oracle has become to many organizations? Because that tends to be a question that that I hear a decent amount in the community, and I think it's a fair question.
That's a great question.
It is.
We'll have to write this down or something.
So, yes, we'll ask Parker, how are you planning to not become a huge, ugly behemoth? All right, that's the question. Got it.
Yeah. And if you have any exceptions to that question, Brett Downey's the one to beat up on.
Yep.
Thank you, Brent. We're just the messengers, Parker, honestly. Well, thank you very much for your time. I greatly appreciate it. And hopefully our listeners really enjoyed the adventures of the Admin Hero. If you want to hear more of these adventures and more from Brent, you can, of course, go to adminhero.com and read his blog. Or please tell us whether or not you like this, because we would love to write more of these terrible, terrible scripts and have Brent come back for more Admin Hero adventures.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brent.
So, what did we learn, Mark?
Well, today I learned new ways to exploit my children for my personal gain, and I learned I'm going to have to start writing the jokes in the script, apparently.
Well, I learned that you don't know the appropriate way how to make sure your kids don't get their sugar high.
It's okay to let them have a little. Like, they've actually found that sugar is actually largely a placebo effect, and mostly due to the reactions that parents have prior to the children. Is the children reacting to the parents' reaction? Right, you know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would still work the same way.
Placebo still means it works.
Okay. No, all right. Science be damned.
Yeah. I learned that Brent is actually a hero.
That's true. Well, I knew that. How did you not know that?
Well, I thought he was wearing the cape as more of a fashion statement.
When is that ever a fashion statement?
Project Runway?
I just hope he never goes near any jet engines.
Oh, yes. Capes are evil. WizardCast is produced by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, directed by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, technical administration by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, script writing by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, audio editing by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, website maintenance by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, candy consumption by Brian Kwong, and our intern this episode was the Admin Hero.
He's not really our intern.
Well, he's not really a co-host. I mean, we have a pretty flat structure here.
Send us your interview suggestions, jokes, videos, tips, and feedback to wizardcast@thewizardnews.com or head over to thewizardnews.com and click Contact WizardCast.
Don't forget to subscribe to the WizardCast and receive our next episode automatically. Once again, I'm Brian.
And I'm the Insidious Duper.
Thanks for listening.
does like the Insidious Superman. Is the mayor the bad guy? What does he say? Is that the reveal?
The reveal really early in the script.
The Insidious Superman is really Mayor Ross in disguise.
And I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those pesky kids and dog.
Oh, one more thing, Brent. One more thing. Brent?
Yeah. I am your father.
That's a really scary thought.
That sounds like a great plot for another script.
That's the twist. That's the end of my Shyamalan twist.